The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you, the people.
That a man can't do a woman's job. Well, maybe I can't do it as well as the great Leslie Marshall, but I always hope to be your second favorite talk show host. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall, your favorite fill-in host, here again talking about the issues of the day. And I got a lot to talk about. Two main things I want to discuss in the next 3 hours, but I also want to encourage you to call in and really throw out anything you want to talk about. Two things I want to discuss, though. One is the nuclear proliferation agreement. The really amazing thing, if you live here in Washington, D.C., as I do, in metropolitan Washington, D.C., and you drive through the streets, we've got whole city blocks, more than city blocks, several city blocks all closed. There's sort of, it seems like an armed camp in the center of our city around the convention center because of all the protection that has to be given to President Obama and 47 or so world leaders. I mean, there's everything. There's jeeps, there's military, there's police officers. It's causing quite a traffic snarl, but I guess those of us in Washington are used to it. I want to talk about nuclear proliferation, including my specific experience working as a congressional attorney when we tried, like heck, to get the Bush administration to take the dangers of nuclear proliferation seriously. They refused, and I'll give you the details about that. We'll talk about nuclear proliferation, what you think this treaty does, what it can do, what it doesn't do, what's yet to be done, what you think about all of that. And then coming up in the next couple of hours, have you heard what Senator Tom Coburn, right-wing conservative, if there ever was one, from Oklahoma, has said? He has said, get this, sit down, be ready for it. Don't go. The same man who said that he believes in the death penalty for abortion doctors, the same person who said that every lawful American has the right to own a gun, I guess that includes the crazy people too, a guy that said that we should pray that some of the members of Congress can't make it to the health care vote. What does that mean? Can't make it, huh? All of that, and also the guy who, by the way, has been very, very hard on trying to prevent people who've been unemployed for an extended period of time from getting benefits. All this very, very right-wing guy said something extraordinary today. Wait for it. He said, and he got booed for saying it, he said that Nancy Pelosi is, and I quote, a nice lady. Unquote. Yeah, he said it. A nice lady. No wonder the conservatives listening to his speech gave him a round of boos. They hissed. They booed. How dare he call Nancy Pelosi a nice lady? And Tom Coburn, who's as radical right-wing conservative, probably the single furthest right-wing person we have in the Senate, I guess. I mean, not in his demeanor, obviously, but in his views, was reduced to defending Nancy Pelosi. He said, well, I'm 180 degrees opposite from her, but, y'all, he probably didn't use the word y'all, he might have, y'all have never met Nancy Pelosi. She happens to be a nice person. I disagree with her, but I don't think you have to demonize every single person you disagree with. He went on to say that you've got to look at more news sources than just Fox. You should watch CNN, too. You should read the New York Times as well as whatever right-wing newspaper you read. And to the woman who said, well, can I be jailed for not buying health care? He said, no, it's not true. You can't get your news just from Fox. Well, Bill O'Reilly got very upset at Tom Coburn. I saw it last night. We'll talk about what happened in that exchange. If you want to talk about that, that's fine, but that's mostly at the backside. I want to start first with nuclear proliferation. And, of course, give out the numbers. It's 866. I did it again. 888. I got a mind trick here because it begins with a 6. 888. 888. 888. Just keep repeating that until I get it right. 888-653-7543. 888-6-LESLIE, if you prefer to spell over numbers. Give me a call anytime and let me know what you're thinking. Let's talk about the nuclear proliferation panel. You know, whenever I see this, this is the largest, by the way, panel on a single issue, the largest in terms of numbers of heads of state, numbers of countries represented in Washington, D.C. on a single issue ever, at least according to the Washington Post. They can't recall a time when this many world leaders have come to Washington, D.C., to discuss a single issue. I believe nuclear proliferation is extremely important. For all the talk that the Bush administration gave, and usually it was Dick Cheney doing the talking, every now and then it was Condoleezza Rice, they would talk about, you know, a mushroom cloud over New York City. They'd talk about a dirty bomb carried in a suitcase. They even took American citizen Jose Padilla and put him in jail for life without trial and without charges, based on claims of this. By the way, I have no problem trying Jose Padilla. He may well be a terrorist. He probably is, by the way. But I'm old-fashioned. I believe in using the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, trial by jury, giving him a chance to defend himself. And then if he's guilty, execute him. Fine. I'm okay with that. I'm like some liberals. Many liberals are opposed to death penalty in all cases. I guess I'm not that liberal. But I do still believe in the Bill of Rights and due process and the Constitution, which today, I guess, is considered Marxism by Glenn Beck. I'm not sure. But the point is that for all the talk the Bush administration gave about loose nukes, for all the talk about fearing that some terrorist would bomb America, what did the Bush administration do about it? What did they do? Nada, or next to nothing. Let me tell you what happened when I was there, and then I know I've got some calls. If you hang on, callers, I'll probably get to you, but it may be 10 minutes or so, so just hang on with me. When I worked in Congress, I was there from the very first days of the Bush administration. He started January 20th of 2001. I believe I started in February of 2001. One of the first bills that we wanted to do, when I say we Democrats, but it's not just we Democrats, it was both sides. Richard Lugar, Republican Senator of Indiana, was a big supporter of this. Al Gore, in fact, was a big supporter of this back when he was vice president. A number of Democrats and Republicans had a bipartisan plan to buy up loose nukes. The Soviet Union had only been dissolved, less than a decade. And there was a real concern then, and just like there's a real concern today, that there were loose nukes running around, because the Soviet Union consisted not just of Russia, but of Ukraine and Kazakhstan and Belarus and Azerbaijan and Armenia. And you should test me, see if I can name them all. I'll bet I could. Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan. I could do it, I think. Tajikistan, did I say that one? Anyway, the point is that the Soviet Union was broader than just Russia. And the concern is that the nuclear weapons would be held outside of just Russia. And while Russia is, at that time actually it was closer to democracy than it is now. Today I fear it's sliding into authoritarian dictatorship under Putin's reign. At that time it was more democratic then. But either way, whether democracy, authoritarian dictatorship, heck, even communist dictatorship, I think it's less likely we're going to get nuked by a stable government. The real concern is that some unstable government would get possession, or some terrorist might get possession, of some nuclear materials. Just last week, the government of Kyrgyzstan, which was part of the Soviet Union, it was one of those stans, there's four stans, south of Kazakhstan. Stan, by the way, is a Persian word, I believe, meaning land. That's why you hear Pakistan, Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan. In any case, Kyrgyzstan, you may have read in the news, was just overturned. That's what happens in some of these Central Asian republics, I don't know how republic they are. They're certainly not very stable. And the concern was Kyrgyzstan may have leftover Soviet nuclear material. This was the concern back in 2001 when I was there. And not just Kyrgyzstan, but Kazakhstan was known, for example, to have a very large nuclear arsenal left. And it, obviously, Russia had many, many tens of thousands of nuclear weapons. But Ukraine had a bunch. Kazakhstan had a bunch. And there were others sprinkled throughout the republics. And so we felt that if we spent $20 billion, which sounds like a lot of money, though, in the scheme of things, we compare it to the surplus, the stimulus package, even compared to Clinton's surplus at the time was $235 billion, about a tenth of the surplus. Compare it to the stimulus package, the trillions. We have a deficit of more than a trillion today. It's 5% of that. We thought $20 billion, even $42 billion, there were two separate bills that were being proposed, was well spent if it meant buying up loose nuclear materials. And that meant sometimes we had to deal with some pretty shady people. It's true. But better we have the nukes than the shady people have the nukes. The idea was to confine nuclear weapons to as few actors as possible. We couldn't help Russia having them. We couldn't help China having them. But we didn't want Kazakhstan to have them. We didn't want Kyrgyzstan to have them. If Ukraine could give them up, that would make the world a safer place. Nothing wrong with Ukraine, but you never know what could happen. To me, the essence of what President Obama was trying to do this week was to restrict nuclear weapons to as few state actors as possible. And I think that's a laudable goal. Did Bush agree to our proposal? He did not. And I'll give you all the details on the other side of the break. If you've called in, please hang on. I promise when I'm through with my storytelling, you will get a chance to speak. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Right back after this.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show, 888-6-LESLIE.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine, filling in for Leslie Marshall, your second favorite talk show host. Glad to be here. Always glad to be here. And we're talking about nuclear proliferation. I'm sure you know that the Obama administration has done something really incredible. Now, you know, I'm waiting for all the people to complain. He hasn't brought us all to a nuclear-free world. We're not all ready to come together and sing Kumbaya. There are still nuclear weapons, and there will be after this week. Fine. But just the idea to convene a summit to get rid of the loose nukes is a big deal. I mean, let's face it. State actors, they're tough. It's hard to convince Pakistan to give up its nuclear weapons. It's worried about India. India won't give them up because it's worried about China. China didn't give it up. They got it because they were worried about Russia. And Russia, or then the Soviet Union, was concerned about us. So I guess, and heck, we were concerned about the Nazis. You know, study the Manhattan Project, and you'll know that we were very concerned that the German scientists would develop it before we were. So I get that. But the problem is, when does it stop? When does it stop? It seems to me, it's a very difficult question how you get a state actor to get rid of its nuclear weapons. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about North Korea and Iran. I'm not shying away from those countries or that topics. I'm not. But to me, Obama, some might say picked the low-hanging fruit, but it's low-hanging fruit that has to be picked. He got all the countries together and said, let's at least agree that non-state actors shouldn't be having these loose nuclear materials. There shouldn't be suitcases full of plutonium hanging around Kyrgyzstan just ready to be used when there's a coup d'etat in Kyrgyzstan, or Uzbekistan, or for that matter, Azerbaijan, or Armenia, or the Ukraine. One of the great things he did, in fact, was got the Ukraine, Chile, and Mexico to agree to give up their nuclear stocks. Now, you might say, well, I mean, Chile, Mexico, these are relatively safe countries. Well, I don't know. Chile had a dictatorship for a number of years, military dictatorship. Mexico, if you've ever been to Mexico, you know that the government there is full of corruption. It's not impossible. It's extremely unlikely, don't get me wrong, but it's not impossible to imagine that someone in Mexico could get hold of a nuclear weapon and use it. The fewer people that have them, the better. And unless a state truly faces annihilation, it doesn't really need nuclear weapons. So I was going back to my story of what I did back in 2001. We were working hard, Democrats were working hard, with Republicans in a bipartisan manner to pass this loose nukes bill. It would cost $20 to $40 billion. It would cost a lot of money. But for that money, we would be able to round up all of the nuclear facilities, that nuclear materials, the plutonium, that was being sold on the black market, so it wouldn't be sold to terrorist groups. Russia would still have theirs, China would still have theirs, but you wouldn't have a bunch being sold by, John the weapons dealer out of Kazakhstan, where it could very well find itself in the hands of an Al-Qaeda, and there really could be a mushroom cloud over New York. It seemed to me that trying to prevent a nuclear explosion on American soil was worthwhile. George Bush disagreed. In 2001, the most important thing to the Bush-Cheney administration, run in large part by Karl Rove, was the Bush tax cuts. He had to have the tax cuts. We had a massive surplus then. It's hard to imagine now. We had a massive surplus. Bill Clinton gave us the largest surplus in American history, and George Bush could not wait to spend it. Because we all know that despite all this ridiculous rhetoric, Republicans are huge, big spenders, and they like to spend on extremely wealthy people. And so Bush had tax cuts that favored mostly the extremely wealthy, and he had to have them done. And we said, okay. Even some Democrats said, we'll even support these, but you got to round up the loose nukes. Senator Lugar also agreed, Republican of Indiana. And Bush said no. He actually threatened to veto a bill rounding up loose nuclear materials. You want to know who's not making us safe? Because he knew that given that cost, he could not promote a massive budget-busting tax cut. That's right. George Bush felt... Well, I don't know what he really felt or not. Dick Cheney and Karl Rove, the people in charge, felt that making sure that extremely rich people get a little bit more money was more important than protecting America from nuclear attack. Sounds extreme, I know, but I was there. They wouldn't even compromise. There was no deal. There were discussions. Okay, we won't spend $40 billion on it. We'll spend $20 billion on it. We'll have a commission. The White House said, no, we will veto it. We need this tax cut. So the Republicans who were in charge of the government at the time didn't want to embarrass the president by passing something, a bipartisan bill, to round up nuclear materials that they knew he would veto. So they quietly shelved the bill. Now President Obama is working hard to clear some of it up, to get rid of the nuclear materials, maybe without money. But you never saw Bush do any of that. For all those that care about national security, you can disagree with Obama's foreign policy. I'm okay with that. But understand that he is making our country safer. Give me a call. Let me know what you think. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. This is Mark Levine. I'll be back after this.
Leslie Marshall. Real people. Real life. Real talk. 888-6-LESLIE. We'll be sure to share your tweets.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine with the honor and privilege of filling in for Leslie, which I do from time to time, talking about nuclear security, what Obama accomplished, what he didn't accomplish, and my own experience as a former congressional attorney early on in the Bush administration when I witnessed firsthand an administration that cared more about its tax cuts than it did about loose nukes. You know, to me, this is an easy issue. It's not that complex. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat, right or left. I don't care how you feel about taxes or spending or the health care bill. Well, I do care how you feel about it. But on this issue, it doesn't matter. Obviously, American security comes first. And you don't have to violate the Constitution. You don't have to torture anybody. All you have to do is spend a little bit of money. That's right. You heard it. Spend a little bit of money, far less than was spent on the useless war in Iraq. Far less than was spent on the necessary but difficult war in Afghanistan, just to buy up, just to get rid of some loose nukes. Bush said no, his tax cuts were more important. Obama achieved something that even we didn't know that was possible. He got countries to get rid of their nuclear materials without paying for them. I mentioned Chile, Mexico, and Ukraine. Let me add three more. Canada. All right, I'm not really worried about Canada. I admit that. Vietnam. That's a big one. Vietnam is going to get rid of hundreds of tons of plutonium. And my personal favorite, Kazakhstan. I'm not knocking Kazakhstan. I'm not Borat or anything. But I don't really like the idea of any former Soviet country, frankly, having nuclear weapons other than Russia. I understand Russia has them. I don't really like Russia having them either, but I understand that's not going to be easy to get rid of them. I am very glad to hear that Kazakhstan agreed to dispose of hundreds of pounds of highly enriched uranium that's used currently in civilian facilities. Bob from Brooklyn has been hanging on a very long time. Bob, I appreciate your patience. What have you got to say?
Hello, Mark.
Hello there.
At the top of the show, you asked, what does the treaty or the conference does not talk about? I haven't noticed any discussion about so-called missile defense. Any day now, the right wing is going to start bringing that up.
Well, they probably will.
Yeah. Now,
what's your view?
They look for any excuse to go there. They will not be satisfied with any limited missile defense, like against North Korea to protect something like that. They always have this idea, this pie in the sky of a missile shield to protect the whole North American continent. Now,
that's a mighty big glass shield. I mean, you know, I just a boy in a bubble, that seemed large. I don't know how you put one over the entire continental United States and Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah, I've been concerned and almost alarmed about this since Reagan proposed it back 25 years ago. I have two books on the subject, which I haven't even gotten around to yet, but the late Lars Erik Nelson, the Washington editor in the Daily News, used to cover this extensively. Missile defense is not a defensive weapon. It's an offensive weapon. It would not just be ABMs. It would be putting lasers on satellites in outer space.
Sure.
The cost would be astronomical, and this is why it's so dangerous.
Well, Bob, here's a dirty little secret that you may know if you've written a couple books on it, but most Americans don't know. I happen to know because I was there at the time. I was working in Congress as a congressional attorney on September 11, 2001. Very few Americans know what was the scheduled hearing that morning. I bet you know, right, Bob? Do you know? Maybe you don't know.
No.
That morning, we had a scheduled hearing on missile defense systems, specifically on this so-called, you know, Star Wars shield that you're talking about, the Strategic Defense Initiative. The Republicans were trying to push money to try to put up this shield at the very time that we were attacked on September 11th. And the Democrats, by the way, had a proposal that very morning. You can look it up. You don't have to take my word for it. That morning, they wanted to take money from the Strategic Defense Initiative, from the Star Wars shield you're talking about, and give it to anti-terrorism programs to protect the United States, to have more agents, intelligence agents on the ground to protect us from terror attack. And the Republicans in Congress and in the administration were saying, no, terrorism isn't the real threat. The real threat is these missiles.
All
right, we need a missile shield.
Mark, the Republicans always go there. They look for any excuse to bring this up. Now, The Patriot missiles do not work. They did not work against Iraq. The Patriot, that's a myth. The Patriot missiles are an anti-aircraft missile. Now, this is why it's so dangerous. If you had a system deployed with ABMs on the ground and lasers on satellites in outer space, even if it works in theory, what it does is it means a country that strikes first against an enemy would be invulnerable to a second attack by the other country. In other words, there's an advantage in striking first, and you would be invulnerable. In other words, you would wipe out the other country's missiles on the ground, but any missiles that survive, the ABM system could knock it down. So you could attack another country, and the other country loses its ability to retaliate. So you lose the deterrence. So it would force a country like Russia to overcome, to maintain their deterrence. They would have to build multiple warhead missiles. In other words, put 10 warheads on one missile. They would have to go on a building of offensive missiles. So the Reagan people used to say, well, if we have the ABM technology, the missile defense technology, we'll give it to the Russians. That just makes it worse, because then each side would be in a position where they have to strike first. Because
and then they could give it to terrorists and so forth. They could use it to protect there. Look, you know, I'm okay in theory, and this may be where you and I disagree, Bob. I'm okay in theory with small ABM. No, I think the idea of a shield protecting the entire United States, Alaska, and Hawaii is ridiculous. I completely agree with you on that. The idea that we're going to have limited technology you know, it used to be allowed on the anti-ballistic missile treaty signed between John Kennedy and Nikolai Khrushchev, sort of a missile system set around Moscow and in Washington, anti-ballistic missiles. The idea of a limited thing, if it could work, and someone could show me it could work, and it wouldn't be crazy expensive, I'm okay with a limited anti-missile defense. But I could tell you, it's impossible to defend the entire United States of America. Absolutely impossible. And even if it were possible, it would be impossible to pay for it all. So I completely agree with you there. And got one last comment there?
Yeah, as I was saying, the right wing doesn't want a limited defense.
I know.
They want to go the whole ball of wax. But just to put a bow on this, even if both sides have a missile defense, in theory, a complete total missile defense, it forces both countries into a position where you have to attack first in order to survive.
I hear what you're saying, and that makes things even more dangerous.
Yes.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. The phone numbers are 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. I know Daily Dave is hanging on. We'll get to him and to all the rest of your calls right after this.
Leslie Marshall and Joiner fan page.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine. Distinct honor and privilege of handling Leslie Marshall's baby. I mean, if she's going to give me her audience, I'm sure she'd give me an infant of hers, right? Glad to be here. Glad to be talking with you. In the first hour, we're talking about nuclear proliferation. Don't miss this next hour, though. During the next hour, we're going to talk about Senator Tom Coburn, perhaps the most right-wing senator in the United States, and yet he has become the voice of reason. When I start praising Tom Coburn, you know that the wacko right has gone way wacko. But we'll get to that. That's all in the next hour. You won't want to miss that. Let's finish this hour, though, talking about nuclear proliferation, talking about the summit that was held right here in Washington with President Obama and the leaders of 47 countries. And a lot of people say, you know, he didn't go far enough. He didn't get everything accomplished. I give the guy credit for trying. Certainly George Bush didn't try. As I said in the last segment, when I worked in Congress, we tried very hard to get the Bush administration to take the threat of nuclear terrorism seriously. And before September 11th, he just wouldn't hear of it. It was all, no, we got to do the tax cuts for rich people. After September 11th, well, Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice and, well, everybody, Don Rumsfeld, kept talking about nuclear attacks on our cities. But they still didn't support any real way to stop nuclear proliferation. I guess they had to justify that war in Iraq, had to get cheap oil for U.S. oil companies. But actually protecting the American homeland? Not high on their priorities, despite all the rhetoric. How many people even know that story? I was there. How many people even know that story? Hey, that's why I'm on the air giving you the inside scoop. That's what I do. And quick plug, anytime you want the inside scoop, just check out radioinsidescoop.com. That's my website. But I've kept Daily Dave on hold for too long. Dave, tell me how things are in Hawaii.
Hey, Mark. It's going great. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I really like that caller, Bob. I really do. I agree with him, I think, about 100%, and I'm agreeing with you as well. The fact is that the previous administration, as you just mentioned, coming out of the break, it was all rhetoric. There
was
no action behind their words. They were empty promises that were simply jingoistic in an attempt to win, a second term.
The irony, Dave, is they kept trying to promote fear by trying to scare us, and yet the very things they were trying to scare us about, a nuclear terrorist attack, the thing that's most frightening to Americans, is the one thing that I know from personal experience they weren't willing to work on to help lower the risk of it. It's amazing.
Right. That's exactly, precisely the thing they were not doing. An ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile attack from a foreign nation, is much more predictable than a terrorist group finding or getting their hands on nuclear materials to create a rogue state that has a bomb that's willing to sell it, or loose
A dirty bomb, a suitcase. They talk about a nuclear suitcase where you can keep radiological materials. It wouldn't cause quite Hiroshima, but it would still cause a tremendous amount of damage.
It's
about 50 or 60 pounds. It's not out of the question that somebody could carry something like that.
Exactly. And when you're talking terrorism, the fear, the ensuing chaos after the event would be tremendous, and that would be the terroristic part of it.
Sure.
That once they discovered or realized that the explosion, as small as it might be, contained radioactive material,
you get radiation sickness that can last for a generation.
Such and such would hit the fan, and there'd be mass panic.
Sure.
Absolutely. So Obama did this as a senator. I have to praise him for that. And he continues to see this as an important issue as a president. I have to praise him for that.
And you know, the thing is that it's amazing to me that this is an issue that doesn't resonate with the American people. You know, a lot of people were saying it's a slow news week, as if what he did didn't matter. Here he has 47 nations meeting in Washington, D.C., all discussing how to get rid of loose nuclear materials. And a lot of people are, I mean, did Fox News hardly cover it? I don't think they covered much. I really don't. I mean, it's almost like it didn't matter. I don't understand why this isn't in one issue above all, that Democrats and Republicans, left and right and center, all Americans can come together and agree that we want to protect America. I don't know anyone on the left or the right, no matter how crazy they are, that doesn't want to prevent a nuclear explosion on American soil. It seems obvious. You don't even have to explain it. And yet, this is one of the priorities of Obama. It was not one of the priorities of Bush. And frankly, I don't even see a lot of Democrats making hay of it, pointing out how much safer President Obama is making the country. Here, the right wing claims all the time, Democrats don't make us safe. We're the party that makes you safe. We're the party of war. We make sure America's safe. Has any president before Obama done anything that has made us as safe as what he's trying to do with nuclear proliferation?
Well, there's facts that we have to remember, that it was a Republican president that withdrew from Vietnam without victory.
Right.
It was a Democratic president that won both the First and the Second World War.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to go too far with that because Lyndon Johnson
did. I've got one more point.
All right, go ahead.
I've mentioned this to Leslie before, and I need you to go on the Internet and find a BBC 4 film called Selling Nightmares. If you just search, you know, Google search Selling Nightmares in BBC, it's an excellent, excellent program about how the media and people's innate fears are used to control their minds.
You know,
and that's exactly what the Bush administration did.
The idea of using fear to control people's minds. I mean, I've always said I don't want to, you know, compare Bush to Hitler, so I'm not going to do that. But I will say this, that using fear to control people is a tried and true technique used by governments throughout all over the earth, dictatorships, democracies, sometimes worse and sometimes not as bad. But clearly, Dick Cheney, for example, he prided himself, I think, on scaring people. I mean, what is this mushroom cloud over an American city? That is trying to scare people. And at the end of the day, the one most likely to prevent that mushroom cloud is President Obama with what he's doing right now. Now, I think he can go further. I mean, this is very, very important. I mean, Daily Dave, you're absolutely right. I am more concerned about a terrorist than I am about a state. But I'm not completely, optimistic about states. I am concerned about Iran. I am concerned about North Korea. I'm concerned, frankly, I like Pakistan as it is, as a democracy, but rogue elements could take over that country. So
right,
I am concerned about states, too.
We need to remember, though, Mark, is that North Korea and Iran are using the nuclear threat to control their own population too, to be, you know, in a sense jingoistic, to threaten, you know, the great Satan, I guess they call the United States or whatever. That's an attempt to control their own population as well, and it should be seen that way.
That's true, and yet I fear it's more than that. Look, both North Korea and Iran are countries with tremendous economic difficulties, largely because of the nature of their dictatorships. I mean, North Korea, people are literally starving while this brutal dictator takes every bit of money and effort he has and puts it either into nuclear weapons or his military. In Iran, the people are out marching in the street until they get mowed down by government forces. They certainly don't like their government. They certainly don't support nuclear weapons. So this idea that people, the government support nuclear weapons because it makes them popular with their people, that may be true in some cases. I don't know that it's true in North Korea and Iran. I do think, and by the way, this it's not either or, it's both and. I'm in no ways critical of what President Obama did this week. I think it's terrific. However, I do think both and. I think we will see, and I expect to see, and I want to see, some very strong sanctions on Iran in the near future. The whole trick is to get China on board so they don't veto the Security Council resolution, and at least there are indications that Obama is succeeding in that regard. I guess time will tell. In my view, even if China doesn't come on board, Western nations need to do their best to make sure, because if Iran gets them, Saudi Arabia is going to want them, and Jordan's going to want them, and Syria's going to want them, and Egypt's going to want them. Israel will be scared. They may have to do a preemptive bombing. It gets really ugly.
Well,
as far
right,
as I'm concerned,
right. Israel,
the fewer
Israel,
the better.
Even with Israel's conventional forces, and North Korea knows as well, that if they were to threaten either the United States or Israel, that they're basically going to turn into a parking lot. That I don't think anybody with half a mind would consider attacking the United States or Israel with a nuclear weapon.
Well, let me tell you, Dave, because I may disagree with you a little bit here. Let's talk about North Korea first. North Korea has a tremendous, so they say. I mean, you know, I'm not on the ground. I haven't been. I was in South Korea 12 years ago, but so they say. North Korea has a tremendous conventional weapon superiority. There are many more North Koreans troops than South Korea, and I happen to believe, with no evidence to back me up, and I admit that the North Koreans may be less loyal to their state than the South Korean troops who are fighting for democracy, but I don't know that. Supposedly, they have far more superior conventional weapons. And so it seems to me that they could threaten Seoul. South Korea doesn't have them, and that's one of the reasons why I think we have to defend South Korea. As far as Israel is concerned, I fear that Iran is doing it for religious reasons, philosophical reasons, not necessarily rational state reasons.
And, right.
I mean,
right,
Ahmadinejad's not in charge. The mullahs are in charge.
Iran's support of Hezbollah is in Syria, in Lebanon, and in
right.
The Gaza Strip is much more of a concern for Israel now than any weapons that Iran might have, right?
Well, it is now. But the real concern, I think, if Iran got nuclear weapons, is that I think Israel would feel compelled to take them out. And it's hard to blame them, given that Iran has publicly called for Israel's annihilation. Leaders have. Not even just Ahmadinejad, but even so-called moderates like Rassamjani.
I think that's just all talk. It's all talk.
It may all be talk, but when you're talking about your own country's annihilation, I understand why a democratic country feels it needs to defend itself. The real trick is to prevent Iran from getting it in the first place so we don't have to cross that scary bridge. And the only way we're going to do that is some hefty sanctions. And I think Obama's committed to doing this. I know it's hard. It's very hard to get worldwide sanctions there. And I expect him to take what he did and double down, not just get rid of loose nukes, but actually go after Iran pretty harshly, too.
Okay.
And we'll see. Not militarily, but definitely with sanctions. Thank you for your call, Dave. I do appreciate it. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma. When this guy starts making sense, it makes you wonder how radical and right-wing the Republicans are. We'll be right back in the next hour. If you want to call in, you know the number, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. And in the break, you want to Facebook me, you want to check out my website, radioinsidescoop.com, please do. We'll be right back at the top of the hour.
Leslie Marshall, the simple truth in a complicated world. 888-6-LESLIE. The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you, the people.
I'm a man. I am a feminist, though. I just want to be clear about that. I'm not saying I can step into Leslie's shoes. I just think that, well, I can fill them better than anyone except her. How's that? All right. So, not to be sexist about it, but you know, when you got a song that begins, "I'm a woman," I'm a man, whatever. All right. This is Mark Levine with the honor and privilege of filling in for Leslie Marshall this hour and the next. I hope you'll join me at 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Let's talk about Tom Coburn and Fox News. Now, Tom Coburn, as many of you know, is a Republican senator from Oklahoma. It doesn't get much redder than Oklahoma in terms of a red state. Maybe Idaho, maybe Utah. No question, Oklahoma is one of the most conservative states in the United States. And Tom Coburn represents his state well. So why was Fox News all over Tom Coburn? Why were Republicans upset with Tom Coburn? Tom Coburn has a history of doing some pretty extreme right-wing things. Let me just give you an example. He has said he favors the death penalty for abortionists. The death penalty for abortionists. I guess that's for doctors helping women have an abortion. Maybe it's for the women themselves. Maybe he wants to put 1.5 million women, American women, to death for deciding not to bring their fetus to term. I don't know. It's pretty radical to me. He has also said that he opposes any efforts to mandate gun control on law-abiding citizens. What about a law-abiding schizophrenic, Tom Coburn? Someone who's mentally ill, someone who abides by the law but may see and hear voices that causes him to do some pretty wild stuff. What about the gun show loophole? Look, I'm not going to argue about all his policies. The point is, he said some pretty extreme things. He's even said, and this is a direct quote, in a debate over health care reform, he said, quote, "What the American people ought to pray is that somebody can't make the vote tonight," unquote. Was he asking Americans to pray for a legislator's death or maybe just their sickness? I don't know. He's the main guy leading the filibuster against allowing people who've been unemployed to continue getting their benefits. Okay, so he's right-wing. Fair enough. Apparently, someone with these right-wing views is now considered too nice for the Republican Party, too nice for Fox News, because he also said that Nancy Pelosi was, get this, a nice lady. He was talking about Pelosi. He was attacking Pelosi's politics, which he has every right to do. This is America. And when he mentioned Pelosi, he got jeers and hisses. And he said, quote, "Come on now, she's a nice, how many of you all have met her? She's a nice person," unquote. "Let me give you a little lesson here," Coburn said. "I hope you will listen to me. Just because someone disagrees with you doesn't mean they're not a good person." Now, as Ruth Marcus points out in her very nice column in the Washington Post on this, even the term "nice lady," it's got a whiff of sexism. Oh, she's a nice lady, right? I mean, it's kind of like, oh, she's a nice lady? I don't know. The term "lady" maybe went out with the Victorian era. When you call a woman a lady, it is kind of, I don't know. You don't think of a lady as someone who is, a strong political force, I guess. But whatever. Okay, he didn't mean it badly. I'm not attacking him for sexism. I actually am praising him for being nice enough to recognize that people who disagree with you are not usually evil. And I don't consider Tom Coburn evil, though death penalty for abortionists? Let's just say that his policies, if implemented, would make my stomach turn. But I don't believe the man is the devil. I don't believe he's Hitler. I just think he's wrong, dead wrong. Okay. And he said the same about Pelosi. He said, you know what? She's a nice lady. I disagree with her, but she's a nice woman. I want you to hear some of what he said to his own constituents in Oklahoma.
Is very pleasing. What you can do is make sure everybody you know in this state and every other state, all your family, stays informed on the issues. Don't just watch Fox News or CNN. Watch them both. I read two papers a day, New York Times, Washington Post, and in between, the Wall Street Journal. I get a perspective. I need to know what other people's thoughts are. not just what I hear through a pod channel. So I would tell you, you got to hear it, Bo, so that you can take it and receive the information in context. And I want to tell you, I do a lot of reading every day, and I'm disturbed that we get things like what this lady said and others have said on other issues that are so disconnected to what I know to be the facts. And that.
Well, let me be clear about what he's talking about here. In addition to actually praising Nancy Pelosi, it's pretty faint praise saying she's a nice lady, but he disagrees with her. But heck, in Washington today, that's considered massive, massive praise. The woman in the audience in his town hall said to him that she feared that the IRS would put people in jail for not getting health insurance. And he said, well, where'd you get that, Fox News? It's not true. It's just it's a fine. It's like tax law. It's you know, the IRS does require you to pay your taxes. Now, you know, I mean, theoretically, I guess if you refuse to pay your taxes on anything, I mean, eventually, yeah, you can be put in jail for tax evasion. But it's not because of health care. There is a fine. It goes on your tax return. That's the way it works. Not to put as he said, as a quote, the intention is not to put anybody on jail. That makes for good TV news on Fox. That isn't the intention. And that's what he says in response to this woman who feared that, that she would be put in jail if she didn't buy health care.
That comes from somebody that has an agenda that's other than the best interest of our country. And so please balance and be careful. As you take in, make sure you get a balance and listen to the other side, because what it does, it makes you a better person, because now you see things in context from how other people might see it that are different than you. God bless you and thank you for being here.
Oh, my God. I agree with Tom Coburn. I don't know what to do. Do I have to change my views now? I agree with Tom Coburn. I agree with the most conservative senator in the United States Senate when he says you got to listen to the other side. You got to see what's persuasive. You got to put things in context. You shouldn't just have one news source. You should see what the right wing is saying in Fox. You should see what the left wing is saying in The Nation. You should see what the center is saying in CNN. I read the Wall Street Journal. I read the New York Times. Sometimes I even pick up rags like the Washington Times, even though I know that Reverend Sun Myung Moon is unlikely to tell me the truth. And yes, I watch Fox News, and I got to tell you something. And don't think that I've gone over to the dark side. I haven't. Some of my friends think I have. But Fox has been very kind to me lately. Bill O'Reilly particularly has had me on 4 times in the last 2 months. And let me announce it here first. Every Wednesday morning at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 a.m. Pacific. If you get up early, you're dressing, go to work. I will be on Fox News for 5 minutes. Debating some Republican and the host, because you know the host is always a right-wing conservative. I'll be debating 2-on-1. They really need at least 4-on-1 to get me, though. I think I'll be okay. It'll be 2 against 1, 2 conservatives against me, the host and a conservative against me, 9:30 Eastern Time a.m. every morning, 8:30 Central Time. While you're getting dressed, getting ready for work, or maybe you've just arrived at work, you can watch me for 5 minutes on Fox News defend liberal principles. Now, maybe I'm a sellout. If you think I am, I'm not afraid of you. Give me a call, 888-6-LASSY, 888-653-7543. It's my view, though, that you got to talk to the other side. If Fox audiences only hear Fox News and only hear right-wing conservatives and a few very weak liberals, then that just fortifies them. But if they put on someone like me, willing to passionately defend liberal causes, maybe, just maybe, I can get some of them. I'm not getting all of them. I probably won't even get most of them, but maybe I can get some of them to just think, ooh, wow, that Mark Levine maybe made a good point. Maybe Fox doesn't have all the truth. Maybe conservatives don't have all the answers. And I want you to know, I in return invite Republicans on my show. The Inside Scoop on Washington, you'll hear me next Monday. I invite Mike Lane, Republican strategist. He's going to come on my show and give his point of view. It seems to me that we've got to talk to our fellow Americans. Because sometimes we'll have to agree to disagree, no question about it. There's very little I agree with Tom Coburn on. But on the need to be civil, on the need to understand that Americans, most of them love their country and are just trying to do what's best, most of them, I get that. And maybe, just maybe, if we're willing to talk to the other side, willing to listen to the other side, we can learn from them and they can learn from us. Otherwise, we end up with just red states and blue states. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Agree? Disagree? Let me know. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall and talking about Tom Coburn, the right-wing senator from Oklahoma, who, oh my God, I actually agree with. No, I don't agree with his policies, please, God forbid. He's the guy that was standing in the way of giving unemployment benefits to people who need them. In fact, Keith Olbermann called him the worst person in the world. But on one thing, I think he's absolutely right. Listen to Tom Coburn as he talks with people in a town hall meeting, and he says something about Nancy Pelosi, and they jeer, and he actually defends her. Listen up.
We came to an agreement in the U.S. Senate with Harry Reid, myself, Mitch McConnell, and Dick Durbin. And we agreed to pay for it for 2 weeks. We agreed to pay for it for 1 week or 2 weeks, but we found less important programs that they agreed to get rid of that would have done it. And when that was communicated to the House, the Speaker's words back is they don't want to set a precedent that they have to pay for new spending. That's the truth. That's the worst. So I want to set that precedent. So I'm 180 degrees in opposition to the Speaker. She's a nice lady. I don't think we can wait. Right? Come on now. She is a nice. How many of you all have met her? She's a nice person. She's a nice person. You know, let me give you a little lesson here. I hope you will listen to me. Just because somebody disagrees with you doesn't mean they're not a good person. And I want to tell you, I've been in the Senate for 5 years, and I've taken a lot of that because I've been on the small side, both in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. Just because I don't agree with them doesn't mean I'm bad. It means I have a legitimate point of view that's different than theirs, and what we have to have is make sure we have a debate in this country so that you can see what's going on and make the determination yourself. So don't catch yourself being biased by Fox News that somebody's no good. The people in Washington are good. They just don't know what they don't know.
You heard that? Don't catch yourself being biased by Fox News into believing that someone is no good. The difference is we just have disagreements. Now, I have a hard time arguing with that, but my good friend Dave out in Bayside, California, I'm not so sure he agrees. Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, Mark, I have, for the most part, valued your thinking over the years, but I do feel I'd like to ponder this one with you a bit, because if what you've got is one side that you listen to that, for the most part, tries to be honest and forthright, they try to speak on behalf of the people, they try to do what's right, say what's right for the common man, and another side appears to be literally owned by big corporate special interest, and their purpose is to sell a bill of goods, to distort, to misrepresent, and I think I'm looking at this objectively, then what is the value in listening to the two sides?
Here's the value, Dave. I'm not disagreeing with you that a heck of a lot of Republican Party principles involve helping big corporations at the expense of the common man. Really, everything you said, I'm not disputing that. But I do know this. Republicans win elections from time to time, more often than I would like. And they win elections not by getting the plutocrat vote, because I got to tell you, as much as they help multi-billionaires, there are not that many multi-billionaires around. A lot of Republican support comes from lower middle class people in earnings, a lot of the same people who joined the Tea Parties, Christian fundamentalists, other people who've been sold, yes, a bill of goods, yes, by commentators on Fox News. So if I were to say, Mark Levine, I'm too pure, I'm not going to appear on Fox News, I'm not going to even talk to those people, they're hopeless, and they're going to say to me, well, they're not going to talk to me, I'm hopeless, then we have no hope of persuading the people in the middle or even people who I think genuinely are misinformed. I think most Tea Party people, if they were able to look at this rationally, Okay, call me a dreamer, but I actually think that they could see that Republican policies harm them. It harms their economic interests. It harms their liberty. It harms most everything they stand for, except for, well, preventing other people from having freedom, which some really care about, and I can't stop that. But I got to be able to talk to them. And if I only talk to people who agree with me, then I don't see how I'm helping move the cause. You know, 40% of America's Democrats, that's great. That's great, but 40% doesn't win elections. And I think, Mark, I have to reach out to the other side.
Well, Mark, I'm not saying talk to them. I would strongly encourage you to go on Fox News and try as best you can to speak for another side that is often not heard on Fox News. I would take a serious analyst that's like, why are they inviting me? Do they expect I'm going to play their ball game?
I don't know. Well, we'll see how long I last. We'll see. but go ahead.
I would certainly encourage you to speak the truth as best you can wherever you get a chance to. But, I mean, listening to the lies that you can get from that station is, to me, a terrible, not only a waste of time, it's counterproductive.
But Dave, let me tell you something. I need to know how they think. Now, maybe, I understand you and I are in different roles. You're a consumer of punditry. I'm a purveyor of punditry. I certainly have to listen to what they have to say. But I actually think, believe it or not, you should too. If only to walk away in disgust, you need to know what your fellow American citizens are telling each other, because let's face it, there's a strong percentage of Americans that believe this stuff. And if you don't, I'm not saying listen to Fox News 24/7. I'm not even saying listen to it, you know, once a day. But once a week, it wouldn't harm you just to see what the other side is saying, if only so you know how people think. I think we Americans need to understand how the other side thinks, and even when it appalls us.
Well, I suffer through it at least as often as once a week, Mark. But
okay.
It's not... not good feelings. I enjoyed your program the other day. I was hoping, Bob Kincaid, there are people, a number of them. I was a psychologist for a number of years.
Quick, Dave, we're coming close to a break. Quick.
People that care about other people and they want to do something for other people, and others who see other people as simply there to be exploited.
I hear you. I hear you, and I do my best to be someone who's always trying to help other people. Thank you very much for your call, Dave. I appreciate it. And even Dave from Bayside, California, might start watching Fox 9:30 a.m. on Wednesdays. I'll be right back. I got another caller who disagrees. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall, talking about, well, talking to the other side. I am a liberal. I admit it. I'm proud of it. I have no qualms about it. Some liberals are afraid to say it. I'm a Democrat. I proudly support the Democratic Party. I do not believe the Democratic Party is always right. I do not believe that President Obama is always right. Occasionally, I agree with Republicans. Rarely, but it happens from time to time. But the real point is I'm an American first. I guess I'm a human being first, an American second, and a Democrat third. At the end of the day, I understand that there are well-meaning people who may disagree with me. There are also some people, as Dave from California said, aren't well-meaning at all. I get that, too. But I do think we have to talk to people who disagree with us. I think we have to watch people who disagree with us, if only to respond to their lies. Later on, I'm going to play some things that Bill O'Reilly got wrong and to show that he got wrong. Now, if I didn't do that, if places like Media Matters didn't do that, then these lies would go unanswered. We have to talk to the other side not just to persuade them, but also to show people, separate what is opinion and what is fact, and make clear that facts are facts, and you have the right to your opinion, but you don't have your own facts. Is it so wrong to listen to the other side? I think that every talk show host, I don't care whether it's the far right or the far left. I don't care whether it's Rush Limbaugh or Randy Rhodes. And I don't in any way suggest that Randy Rhodes is anywhere near like Rush Limbaugh. But my point is that wherever you stand on the political spectrum, you should be willing, you should be able, you should welcome someone who disagrees with you on the air. If I didn't think I could take all comers, you know, then I shouldn't be on the radio. And I do, and if you disagree with me, bring it on. Call in, tell me why. Don't call me names. you know, if you start doing personal attacks, that's about the only time I'll cut you off. Or if you don't have a dialogue, if you don't allow us to speak to each other, then I might cut you off. But otherwise, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to hear your reasoning. I want a dialogue because I understand that's the only way we Americans are going to be able to live with each other. Mike from Westchester, you've been holding a while. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark, and thanks for taking my call. I think that we do need to have a dialogue. We do need to actually listen to each other to find out, you know, why we think that way, not, you know, to assume, well, they just think that way because they're stupid or because they have an agenda or whatever. We really need to listen to each other so that we can reach out to each other. We can, even if we agree to disagree, we can respect each other's opinions and, you know, understand that in a democracy, the majority rules. Now, if it happens that we win an election, our side wins an election, we should be able to, you know, prevail with respect towards them, you know, not to just trounce all over them, and vice versa. But I will point out two things, and you're a pretty smart guy. I'm sure you could do that on your own. First, number one, the reason why Fox wants you on is not because out of the goodness and kindness of their heart, it's because they want ratings.
I understand
that. Communications company. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, and the second thing that I would point out is that the reason why Dr. Coburn has said the things that he has about Fox News is because I think a lot of people in the Republican Party, even conservatives, even neocons, realize they have opened Pandora's box right now with the amount of propaganda that is going out there that has become so anti-government. They realize that this is eventually going to come around and bite them on the back end. And so this is the reason why you're hearing this. Now, I would be interested to see how much of it will continue, even though they're denouncing it, because it just seems that the neocons have a new game, well, not a new game, but a game where they will denounce or they'll say, oh, this is just a horrible thing and it shouldn't happen, but then continue doing it or have their friends continue doing it. So it should be interesting to see, but I agree with you. We do really need to reach out. We really do need to have a dialogue and speak with each other, and hopefully we won't end up in armed camps, which seems to be the way we're going right now.
You know, and I'm not necessarily hearing disagreement between you and me and Dave from California. I mean, look, sometimes people do have an agenda. All right, sometimes people are stupid. Sometimes people lie. But at the end of the day, I think we owe it to anyone who comes at us reasonably, doesn't come shouting, you know, epithets or calling Obama Hitler or a socialist, but comes at us reasonably, gives reasons, we should be able to give reasons back. And if we can't give reasons back, then maybe we should reconsider the point. I'm okay with that. If someone gives me, if a right-winger gives me a bunch of facts, first thing I do is I check the facts, because oftentimes they get the facts wrong. And and if they get the facts wrong, I find some provable way to show, hey there, I try not to insult them. I try not to accuse them of lying unless I firmly know that they know the facts and are lying about it. But I'd say, hey, you got your facts wrong. Here are the actual facts. Now, usually that sends people in two directions. Sometimes they just hang up. They can't handle it. Oh, literally, you can't handle the truth. You're right. Then they run away. Sometimes they sort of repeat what they've said. But occasionally, and I call these the breakthroughs, and they probably occur a third of the time or maybe even less than a third of the time. But occasionally they say, all right, well, let me check that out. They might go on the web. They see I'm citing the Congressional Budget Office or I'm reading from the Constitution. Or, in other words, my sources are unimpeachable sources, that it's true what I say. And they say, well, you know what? Okay, you make a good point there, Mark. Maybe I'll reconsider it. And to me, those are huge victories. Just that. I remember a call, one of my favorite calls, actually, and sometimes I play it when I send out my radio resumes, was right here when I was hosting Leslie Marshall's show during the election between Obama and McCain. And this guy, this nice guy from, I think he's from Long Island, was very much anti-Obama, very much pro-McCain, because he felt that McCain would keep us safer than Obama. Okay, that's his opinion. He has a right. I disagreed. He had the right to his opinion. And then I started talking with him about Pakistan. And I started talking about the fact that Obama was willing to actually bomb Pakistan if he had actionable intelligence, and McCain wasn't. And by the way, for those of you that don't know, President Obama – you may disagree with this, by the way, if you're on the left – but President Obama has killed more al-Qaeda leaders, has put more bombs in Pakistan in his first year than President Bush did in the last 8 years. So you can agree with that or you can disagree with it. I'm actually okay with it as long as we do our best to avoid civilian casualties. But the point is, with this guy, he suddenly started saying, well, maybe Obama will keep us safer. Looks like we lost Mike. That's okay. I'll keep going. But Mike's point was very good. And I was able to persuade him. I was able to get him to change his mind. And you know what? Sometimes it happens. I admit I've thought through most of these issues, so it doesn't happen that often. But every now and then, someone, some Republican, will make a good point. And I'll listen to their point, and I'll think, well, number one, it's truthful. And number two, there's logic behind it. And I think, you know what? They got a point. I'll even say it. You'll hear it on my show when I bring Republicans on. Every now and then I'll say, well, you have a point there. And that's okay. That's no shame for me. It's some people, I swear, when you argue with them, it's almost like it's a game. And every time they make a point, they win. And every time they concede a point, they lose. I don't count points that way. I never have. I count points by understanding the issue better. And sometimes people on the other side can actually explain the issue better to me. Now, I admit, I've been in politics a long time. I was a congressional attorney in 2001. I've written legislation. I have a degree in law. I know the Constitution backwards and forwards. Usually when there's a disagreement on facts, I win. And in fact, I'm very proud of my fights with Bill O'Reilly, who's another intelligent man. But usually, if he and I are in a dispute on the facts, I think you'll find I got my facts right and he doesn't. In fact, when we come back from break, I'm going to give you an example of where Bill O'Reilly just didn't get his facts right. But yet, I give the guy credit. He's willing to bring me on his show and show him where he doesn't get his facts right. And for that, he's leagues above the likes of a Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh. 888-653-7543. 888-6-LESLIE. We'll be right back after this.
We'll be sure to share your tweets.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. Is Tom Coburn the voice of reason? Is the right wing, some might call him extremist, he did say death penalty for abortionists, and I don't know how that's not extreme. At least he's not going out there supporting the people killing the doctors through vigilante style. He just wants to put them on trial, I guess, and then kill them. Whatever the case, he is now too nice for the Republican Party. Too nice for Fox, too nice for Rush Limbaugh. I mean, you know, I talked Monday about the fact that John Paul Stevens, Justice John Paul Stevens, who retired, who is going to retire at the age of 90 in just a few months, was appointed by Gerald Ford. And he is a moderate Republican. He was a moderate Republican when he was chosen. He was chosen by a moderate Republican, Gerald Ford. And that by the standards of today, I'm sure Glenn Beck would call Ford a Marxist. Let's face it. The right-wing media has moved far to the right. And the country has moved somewhat far to the right. But now Tom Coburn's the voice of reason? Well, I'm afraid so. What did he say? He said two very simple things. He said, first of all, he disagrees with Nancy Pelosi, but she's a nice lady. Don't demonize her. And number two, he said to the woman who was afraid of going to jail for not paying her health care, he said, you're not going to go to jail for not paying your health care. It's just a tax. I don't like the tax. I'm against it, but it's just a tax. Don't worry about it. We're not going to put anybody in jail for not buying health care. Well, this drove the right wing crazy. Let me quote Rush Limbaugh after Tom Coburn's words. Rush Limbaugh said, and I quote, well, who cares if she's nice? Al Capone was a nice guy. Hitler had friends, for crying out loud. Unquote. Hitler had friends, for crying out loud. He's comparing Nancy Pelosi to Hitler? This same person who slandered me by name, Mark Levine, check it out, it's on my website, radioinsidescoop.com. Rush Limbaugh slandered me by name for saying that Rush Limbaugh frequently compares Obama to Hitler. He even doctored the audio, tampered the audio, took out the example I gave of where he compared Obama to Hitler. He does it all the time, of course. Now he's comparing Nancy Pelosi to Hitler. Back to Rush Limbaugh's quote. Al Capone was a nice guy. Who cares if she's nice? Hitler had friends, for crying out loud. Coburn says, there's no intention of putting anybody in jail. No, no, no. Somebody tell Tom Coburn she was specifically asked about possible jail time, and she said the legislation is very fair in this respect. Glenn Beck said, quote, the Republican that I'm supposed to defend because he's so unlike Nancy Pelosi was defending Nancy Pelosi, unquote. As if Tom Coburn calling Nancy Pelosi a nice lady was some crime. And you know who was worse? You know who's the worst of all? And I'm thankful to Ruth Marcus of the Washington Post for bringing these quotes out. The worst of all is a man of whom I have nothing in common But the first four letters of my first name and the first five letters of my last name. A man who, ironically, sometimes I get confused with, a guy by the name of Mark Levin. He doesn't look like me. He doesn't talk like me. God knows he doesn't think like me. We could not be more different. And by the way, my last name is L-E-V-I-N-E. Please never confuse me with that guy. Here's what Mark Levin, I'm Mark Levine, again, don't confuse us. Here's what Mark Levin had to say about Tom Coburn's nice words about Nancy Pelosi. He said, quote, "We don't need you hack, detestable politicians telling us a damn thing. Most of you are a bunch of pathetic, unethical morons. And so, no, Mr. Coburn, we won't be told to sit down and be quiet. We won't be told by you to watch CNN to balance off Fox. You got that, pal? Who the hell do you think you are? You sound like a jerk, to be perfectly honest with you. You, the jerk who backed John McCain." Unquote. Let's face it, in Mark Levin's radical right-wing extremist eyes, I guess even John McCain is a Marxist. Even Senator Coburn, I mean, you might say, okay, well, they're radio hosts. You know how radio hosts are. They like to be extreme. They like to get ratings. Even Senator Coburn's fellow senator from Oklahoma, James Inhofe, also elected by Oklahomans, also sitting in the Senate, a politician who doesn't have to, you would think, doesn't have to get extreme to get votes, said, quote, "There's nothing nice about Nancy," unquote. Quote, "She disagrees with everything we believe," unquote. Does she disagree with everything you believe? Does she, you know, you both agree that you don't want America attacked by a nuclear bomb? I think you both do. To say there's nothing nice about someone because they disagree with you? You know, Bill O'Reilly, all right, I'm going to say it. You're about to hear something extraordinary. Bill O'Reilly's been very nice to me. Now, I disagree intensely with Bill O'Reilly, and I often think he gets his facts wrong. And in the next hour, I'm going to show you how he got his facts wrong specifically on this case. But he's invited me on his show four times, and I hope he invites me back. And the fact that he invites me on his show isn't going to keep me from criticizing him. I'm going to spend the whole next hour bashing Bill O'Reilly, not for being not nice, but for getting his facts wrong. And he has every right to bash me if I ever get my facts wrong, and frankly, so do you. If you ever hear me say something wrong, I hope you correct me. You can correct me live by calling in right now, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. You can tell me on my website. Go to RadioInsightScoop.com after every show, and you just type in and you tell me if you disagree with something I've said. If you agree with something I've said, I am accountable. I want to be accountable. I want a world where people are accountable. And that includes politicians. And that includes radio hosts. And that includes TV hosts. And it's precisely because I hold Bill O'Reilly accountable that I'm going to spend the next hour telling you what he got wrong last night on what I saw on Fox News. He specifically got wrong the claim that no one on Fox News had said that people are going to jail for not buying health care. Of course they said that. I'm going to play for you the clip. You can hear it for yourself. And I have to thank Media Matters for America for getting all these up there. But I'm not going to tell you Bill O'Reilly's not a nice person. He's been very nice to me. I met him in person. He shook my hand. He said he enjoyed having me on the show. I appreciate that. No, that doesn't mean I'm going to be any easier on him. But I'm not going to call Bill O'Reilly Hitler. Heck, I didn't even call George Bush Hitler. I didn't even call Dick Cheney Hitler. And Dick Cheney, who advocated torture, well, let's just say I could understand. No, I'm not even going to say that. No, it was wrong. It's wrong to even call Dick Cheney Hitler. He wasn't Hitler. He was terrible. He was rotten. He was a liar. He sent us a bunch of people to die in war that didn't have to be fought. But he wasn't Adolf Hitler by any stretch. I don't think that's the standard, by the way. I think you can complain about someone without saying they are Hitler. And like I said, Bill O'Reilly's been nice to me. Now, other conservative hosts have not been nice to me. I can say that. I don't mind if someone hasn't been nice to me saying someone's not nice. But at the end of the day, we do need to distinguish between people and their views. And sometimes people do some really not nice things. I'll give you an example. I talked about it at length on Monday. I had a terrific guest, Bob Kincaid. Don Blankenship, the CEO of Massey Energy Corporation. I'm willing to say he's not nice, and I've never met the man. Maybe if I met him, he would shake my hand and be very, very nice to me. But Don Blankenship intentionally pursued policies that led inexorably, I would argue, to the death of 29 innocent coal miners who were too poor to defend themselves, had to take the job, and ended up dying because Don Blankenship and Massey Energy Corporation didn't care enough to spend the little bit of money necessary to make sure that coal mining was safe. You know what? That's not nice. Making a profit off someone's death, that's not nice. I mean, and I guess you could argue that death penalty for abortionists, that's not nice either. I mean, Tom Coburn's actively, you know, pushing something that's not very nice. Not allowing people to get unemployment benefits, that's not nice either. Keith Olbermann did call him the worst person in the world. But I guess he could at least still be civil. And the fact that he was willing to say to a town hall meeting in Oklahoma, let's be civil, let's listen to news from both sides, let's listen to Fox, and he used CNN as the left. I would call CNN the middle. You know, I would say, even MSNBC is kind of the middle to me. I would say The Nation or Mother Jones is someone on the left, clearly. He said, listen on all sides, and I got to give him credit for that. I got to give him credit where credit's due. I will go back to bashing Tom Coburn's policies tomorrow and the next day. But when someone from another side reaches out, I think we have to take the hand. There's been too much ugliness. And I think the Republicans often use ugliness and fear and hate in order to get people to support their policies. I get it. I know that's how politics works. And it's nothing new to the Republican Party. You want to see a really nasty election? Go back and study the 1800 election between Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. That was a nasty election. Go back to the 1800s and the debates over slavery where you had, I believe it was Senator Sumner. I may get the names wrong. Who was, maybe it was Webster. Anyway, one of them was caned almost to death by a Southern senator who supported slavery. I mean, there's been some brutality in America, but we don't have to go that road. And I would hope that with your friends and your colleagues and even with Fox News, you could take everything with a grain of salt, but recognize that, well, you can agree disagreeably. And I'm going to be on Fox News, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time every Wednesday morning. You're going to see me trying like heck to do just that. We'll be right back after the break, and I'm going to take down Bill O'Reilly, a nice guy with his facts wrong, after this.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show, 888-6-LESLIE. The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you, the people.
To be able to sing. What can I say? A lot of radio hosts get their start as disc jockeys. Not me. I got my start working in Congress as an attorney. That's right. I'm a geek. I admit it. Nothing wrong with being a geek. I don't think geeks get enough respect. Time to bring geek back and make it cool. All right, that's not going to happen. But hey, I am Mark Levine. I am filling in for Leslie Marshall. I am a man filling a woman's shoes. And that's not her high-heeled shoes. I don't do high heels. I am filling in her shoes, and I'm proud to be here. And I'm talking about, well, you know, most of us on the left, we talk about the right talks about the left, kind of like high school, right? The girls talk about the boys talk about the girls. Well, I'm talking about the right wing because I'm actually praising Senator Tom Coburn, a man who I think looking back over 7 years in radio and TV, I don't believe I've ever praised before. Listen now because it may never happen again. No, I disagree with him on abortion, and I disagree with him on employment benefits. I disagree with him on taxes. I disagree with him on spending. I disagree with him on, well, practically everything. But I do agree with him that we need to be civil, that we have to treat people who disagree with us fairly, that we have to calmly talk about facts and let people agreeably disagree. Because sometimes our opponents are nice. Sometimes they're not nice. I mean, in terms of people that I've dealt with, Rush Limbaugh was not nice to me. He isn't nice to lots of people, but he personally wasn't nice to me. He took a clip where I condemned him for calling Obama Hitler, and he very carefully removed the middle sentence where I gave the example of him comparing Obama to Hitler, and then told his listeners that I was, let me get this quote right here, I am, Mark Levine is a glittering jewel of colossal ignorance. I can't do the Rush Limbaugh. A glittering jewel of colossal ignorance. Rah, 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 rah. You know what? I may try to play that. I'll get it in the middle of the break so you can hear that. Yeah, no, that's what he called me. That's okay. Actually, I kind of like that he mentioned me by name. You know, go for it. If I'm going to be trashed by anybody, it's going to be Rush Limbaugh. That's terrific. But what he did do is he took the middle sentence where I gave the example that called Obama Hitler, the exact analogy. He took my little sentence, he took it out, and then claimed that he would never do such a thing. Well, he did. And he lied about it. And he doctored the audio, and he doctored the tape, and that's not nice. Rush Limbaugh wasn't nice to me. Bill O'Reilly's been nice to me, even when he's wrong. He's usually wrong. He brought me on to talk about the Second Amendment, and I read the actual text of the Second Amendment and all told him that I wasn't going to stop anyone from having a militia. And he and I disagreed. I happened to support what judges for 230 years have been saying. Let's see, Bill of Rights, 220 years. And he agreed with what the court said last year. And got confused over the fact that, in fact, for 220 years, the court had ruled the other way. He didn't know the facts. He didn't have people giving him good information. All right, okay. I told him so. I also explained why it's not unconstitutional to require people to buy health insurance, and if it were, Medicare would be unconstitutional too, right? But he was willing to listen. He came back at me, and that's what America's all about. But when Bill O'Reilly heard what Tom Coburn had to say, well, he was a little offended. He was offended on behalf of Fox. He wants to believe that Fox truly is fair and balanced, and he's very big about promoting that. Now, I think Bill O'Reilly knows in his hearts of hearts that Fox is a right-wing network. How could you not? How could you not? And it's okay. It's okay to have a propaganda network. I wish the left had a propaganda network. You know, MSNBC doesn't quite fulfill that role. It's getting better. But it would be great to have a network as loyal to the Democratic Party as Fox is to the Republican Party. I would love it. But Bill O'Reilly got upset with Tom Coburn, brought him on his show, Republican Senator Tom Coburn. I watched the whole thing last night, the whole segment, and took him to task for his claim that Fox had said that you could go to jail if you didn't buy health care. Now, there were two issues. One was him calling Nancy Pelosi nice, and O'Reilly, to his credit, conceded that lots of people on Fox News had attacked Nancy Pelosi for not being nice. That's a nice way of saying calling her Hitler. That's not the same as calling someone nice. But he was quite harsh on Tom Coburn for suggesting that anyone at Fox had ever said that people could be jailed if they didn't buy health insurance. Bill O'Reilly was quite clear. He said nobody at Fox ever said such a thing. And Tom Coburn said, well, you know, this woman who approached me at the town hall meeting, she said she heard it on Fox, and I believed her. And so, well, you know, I told her, don't believe everything you hear on Fox. Listen to the exchange between Bill O'Reilly. You know what? I got to take a break. Let me take a break. When we come back, I'm going to play the exchange between Bill O'Reilly and Tom Coburn, Senator of Oklahoma, and then I'm going to play the truth. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. We'll be right back after this.
Leslie.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine, your favorite guest host for Leslie Marshall, talking about, well, what Bill O'Reilly got wrong. He got wrong when he said that nobody on Fox had ever said that failure to buy health insurance would result in jail time. So let's be clear. I've been talking about this the whole time. Senator Tom Coburn, right winger from Oklahoma, was confronted by a woman at a town hall that was very nervous that she might go to jail if she didn't buy health care. And he said, no, that's not true. That's not true. It's just a fine. It's just like an extra tax. It'd be just like owing, you know, additional tax. That's all it is. And she said she'd heard it on Fox News, and he said, don't believe everything you hear on Fox News. Well, Bill O'Reilly gets offended when you attack Fox News. He defends his network. He's the premier show on the network. So he took Tom Coburn to task. Listen up.
Republican Senator Tom Coburn from Oklahoma recently appeared at a town hall meeting where he was questioned about Obamacare, specifically how the government will punish people who don't buy mandatory health insurance.
If they can put us in prison, take away our liberty, are they not trampling on our Fifth Amendment rights by putting it under the IRS?
The intention is not to put anybody in jail. That makes for good TV news on Fox, but that isn't the intention.
Wow. Okay, but can you tell me one person on Fox News, just one, was told this audience that they'll go to jail if they don't buy health insurance?
Well, I didn't ask the lady when she'd heard it.
Well, why then was it legitimate to bring in Fox News to a discussion where, number one, you don't know anybody on Fox News, because there hasn't been anyone, that said people will go to jail if they don't buy mandatory insurance. And number two, the lady was asking a general question, and you brought in Fox News. That wasn't fair.
Well, maybe it wasn't fair. But okay. Here's the point. I listen to Fox a lot.
Yeah.
Okay? I am very glad you're there. You offer a balance to the total slant on the left. But when we're not accurate, or when we overstate the case, and I will tell you, I've heard that in certain Fox programs, the case is overstated.
But tell me what, because it doesn't happen here, and we researched to find out if anybody on Fox News had ever said you're going to jail if you don't buy health insurance. Nobody's ever said it. So it seems to me that what you did was you used Fox News is a whipping boy when we didn't qualify there. Now, let's go to Nancy Pelosi.
Okay, so, I mean, Bill O'Reilly couldn't be more clear, right? It doesn't happen here. And we researched it. It doesn't happen anywhere at Fox. So stop using Fox as your whipping boy. None of us, he goes on to, by the way, say that, yeah, we attack Nancy Pelosi all the time. But we don't make stupid claims. We don't lie about the bill. We don't say that you're going to go to jail for not paying health insurance. Bill O'Reilly couldn't be more clear. Well, and I'm thankful to Media Matters, of course, for dredging this up. Bill O'Reilly was mistaken. Here he is, not that long ago, November 13th. What's that? That's not even 6 months ago. On his show, The O'Reilly Factor, talking with none other than Glenn Beck, listen to this exchange.
No.
All right.
I don't have universal health care.
No, let's get, you will soon.
or I'll go to jail.
Yeah, are you going to be a conscientious objector to health care?
You know, this is the first time in history in our country where just to be a citizen, just to not go to jail,
right,
you have to buy something.
I think you should go to prison for this cause.
Really?
I do.
Yeah.
All right,
that'd be fun.
I'll help you.
That'd be fun. You really? Bill, they watch in prison. I don't think that
I'll
you should
help
say.
You.
Okay, so there you go. They're joking about it. But they're not completely joking. Glenn Beck says it quite seriously. This is the first time in American history just for doing nothing, you'll go to jail. Well, you know, I mean, Glenn, people who don't pay their taxes can if they do so and they have the money. Yeah, I mean, if you don't have the money, you can't pay your taxes. Actually, they can't put you in jail. We don't have debtors' prisons. But if you have the money and you refuse to pay your taxes at long period of time, eventually, I mean, I guess you can go to jail. So that's not unusual. But there's nothing about the health care bill that's going to put you in jail any more than any other tax you don't pay, which is extremely rare. You got to be pretty bad on tax evasion before you go to jail. So what was Bill O'Reilly talking about? He said, we've never done it on Fox. We've never done it on Fox. I've never done it on this show. Well, Bill, I guess you can't follow everything you do. But I assure you, when you have Glenn Beck on, you're often likely to get something wrong. Even Neil Cavuto, you know right-wing Neil Cavuto on Fox? Even Neil Cavuto had to concede he did the research, and Fox has several times said that you could be jailed if you didn't buy health care, as if that was some, you know, new awful thing that the Democrats were doing. If you don't buy health care, we're going to throw you in jail. No, there's a fine. That's how it works. It's like a $600 fine. So Cavuto admits it and then brings Senator Tom Coburn on the show and basically says, okay, we said it on Fox, but why didn't you mention the other people that said it? Listen to this exchange right here.
Okay. You and Fox have gotten into a little brouhaha about. I noticed you were with my friend Bill O'Reilly on this very issue. And that is whether you were saying Fox alone incited false information, saying that those who did not buy health insurance were going to be thrown in jails. Now, you're quite right, and I researched this. A number of Fox personalities had made that comment, but they were not alone at the time it was made. But you cited only Fox at the time.
Well, but that's because the questioner had cited Fox. If you go back, who I was talking to is a group of very conservative people. That is who comes to my town hall. Look, I said you've got to get your news from multiple sources and you make up your mind. I think all news medias have some bias, just like every senator has some bias. Nobody is without some bias.
Then why couldn't
bias.
You say, I understand this, and I've heard the bias, I'm not going to play it here, but it just seemed to me like this woman was quoting Fox, but it didn't seem like she was. So what I'm asking you is, why cite something that was prevalent in all the media at the time? You're quite right. It later proven incorrect, although because the president didn't deny it one way or the other, it's sort of like denying a negative, I understand.
But
it's just sort of festering. Why Fox?
Because I had a Fox News crowd in front of me.
Well, how do you know they were? How do you know they were Fox News?
Again, thank you to Media Matters. How do you know they were a Fox crowd? Because they're from Oklahoma. Because they like Tim Coburn. Because they attend his town hall meetings. Because Fox is the network, the propaganda network for the Republican Party. And you know what? They have that right. I believe in free speech. They have that right. But it's just funny to me when Fox is like, why did you think they were in the Fox audience? Well, she cited Fox. She said, I heard this on Fox.
You know, and Mark, notice that it went from, okay, this was never said onto this network to, okay, this was said on this network, but why didn't you mention another network? It was
exactly.
never that part was wrong. And I noticed a lot of the hosts on there do that, especially a couple that you mentioned. It's like, no, we didn't. You don't mention that a mistake was made. You just say this happened, but, and then you go on to the next point, why the other person you're talking to is wrong. That bothers the crap out of me.
I'll tell you something else. Bill O'Reilly's show happens to be the top-rated show on Fox. The factor is it's a very widely watched show, some 4 million viewers. Neil Cavuto's show, not so much. On during the day, doesn't get as many listeners. I'd like to see Bill O'Reilly correct his mistake. I mean, already his fellow conservative host on Fox, Neil Cavuto, has admitted that you know Bill O'Reilly made a mistake. Now, I'd like to see Bill O'Reilly, and I actually think he might. Let's see him be a stand-up guy and say, you know what? I made a mistake. When I said, and you heard it, Mark, when he said, absolutely, we researched this. No one on Fox ever said it. It's ridiculous. Why are you picking on us? None of us said it. And Coburn said, well, you know, the woman said she said it. You know, the woman's wrong. She got it wrong. Well, she didn't get it wrong. She got it right. Bill O'Reilly got it wrong. Okay, Bill O'Reilly doesn't have to be perfect. He may have someone who researched it who failed to notice his own talking about it with Glenn Beck in November. All right, well, I'd like to see him say, you know what, I was wrong. And I think he owes it to his listeners. I really do. I got a couple people on the line. I'll tell you what, I'm going to start with Ken from Buffalo. Ken, we may not be able to. We only got about a minute and a half, so let me let you start, and we'll see how far we go. Go ahead with me.
Okay, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about Medicare. Now, it was my understanding that Medicare is not compulsory. It's just that just about everybody who can get it voluntarily gets it because it's such a good deal.
That's exactly right.
Is that your understanding? And will
Absolutely.
This new law have any changes in that aspect
No.
of Medicare?
Absolutely not. One, you're absolutely correct. Medicare is a voluntary program. Now, I understand that, you know, we pay for it with our tax money. So, you know, you get that money taken out of your wage. But whether or not you choose Medicare is voluntary. And I don't know anyone who doesn't. I'm sure there's three ornery people over 65 who say no to it. But I do know this. Of those that choose to adopt Medicare, the most recent poll, nonpartisan poll, Suffolk University, I believe it was, 94% of all people who use Medicare like Medicare. 94%. I don't know of anything 94% of Americans agree on. I hope they agree the world's round, but I'm not so sure about that. 94%. It's a very good deal. In fact, one of the things I have been fighting for a long time is Medicare for all. I'd like to be able to join Medicare. It would make it much more fiscally solvent, and at the same time, heck, I'd get a really good deal on my insurance. So yes, the healthcare law does not change the fact that Medicare remains voluntary and a pretty good deal for everybody. 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. We'll be right back after this.
Leslie Marshall, the simple...
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. Got a half hour to go. This is Mark Levine, proudly filling in for Leslie Marshall. I had to cut off Ken from Buffalo. I'm afraid, Ken, that's sort of the nature of the radio. We were coming up on a hard break, but now you got all the time in the world. Tell me, I think I answered your question on Medicare. Did you have something else you wanted to say?
Yeah, Mark. I was thinking, you know, before the health insurance law became a law, when the AARP came out in favor of health care reform and maybe even in favor of public option, there were all kinds of right-wing people stirring up the seniors and getting them upset about this. And you heard about people cutting up their AARP cards and sending them back to AARP and saying, we don't want any of your, you know, government run this or that. And yet I've never heard of a single person cutting up their Medicare card.
Yeah.
And sending that back to the government and saying, we don't want any of your
That's
government
a good
health
point,
insurance.
Ken. That's a really good point. And, of course, the irony is that this law does not go near far enough. It doesn't include a public option. I would like to see Medicare for all. But you're absolutely right. We don't want government-run health care. Really, the irony is Republicans then turned around in the same breath, sometimes in the same sentence, we don't want government-run health care. And they're trying to cut your Medicare. Did you notice this? They're like,
yeah,
they're trying to cut your government-run health care. We don't want government health care. Don't let them cut their government-run health care. I thought they were being a little schizophrenic there.
yeah, very much so. Hey, thanks for holding me over, Mark.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for calling. I think Ken makes a great point. No one did cut up their Medicare card. And the thing the seniors were scared about was not having too little government-run health care. I mean, not having too much government-run health care. They weren't worried about that. They were worried about having too little. Ken
You're
is
absolutely
exactly
right, Mark.
Right. Hey, thanks for your call, Ken. I do appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Mark. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
As I say, Ken is right. They were worried about that, and one of the reasons why President Obama had to close the donut hole in the prescription drug bill was to give seniors something in this bill because they were already doing so well, thank you, Lyndon Johnson, that they need to get a little something more or they'd be against the health care law. Here's someone, though, on the phone who I bet would disagree with me. His name is also Mark. It may get confusing between Mark Grimaldi and Mark the Tea Partyist and Mark Levine, but we're going to try. Mark the Tea Partyist is driving from Boston, the site
yes,
of the
hi,
Tea
I'm,
Party.
I'm from Virginia. We went up to Boston.
Oh,
for
okay.
Tea Party.
It was in Boston, and now you're coming home again.
Well, we're heading back for the one in D.C. tomorrow, then home.
Okay.
You know, you realize you spent 20-some minutes talking about Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck. And at the tea party today, there was 40 or 50 people that were there to cause trouble. They had their fake signs and vulgar language, and most of them were young gay people, and they were rude and disrespectful. Several of them had to be physically restrained for trying to pick a fight with senior citizens that were there.
Why is it relevant that they were gay?
Video.
Were they black too? Were there blacks
disgusting.
There too? Hey, Mark, were there blacks there too?
I'm sorry?
Were there blacks there too? Were there Jews? Why is it relevant that they're gay?
Well, because they were holding up all kinds of signs saying we're gay, we're this, we're that.
Okay.
You know,
nothing wrong with that, right, Mark?
No, I have plenty of gay friends.
All right, okay, all right, just making sure.
They were there to start trouble and, you know, to physically pick a fight with a senior citizen.
Did they physically pick a fight? Well, hold on. Are you telling me that they actually caused violence?
Yes, I have it on video.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what I want you to do, Mark. When you get home, all right, call the Massachusetts police. You show them that video, all right, and I hope they prosecute anybody that caused violence. I really do.
The police stepped in on several occasions.
Well, good. They should stop violence. And I assume you also would think that the people in Washington that spit on John Lewis, the great civil rights leader, spilled on...
Oh, you saw that video, too? Oh, no, wait. That's right. There isn't any video of that.
Well, I'll tell you what there is. There's video calling Barney Frank a faggot. I assume you don't approve of that.
Oh,
that's on video.
Not.
Okay. And I assume you're not impugning the honor of one of the great civil rights leaders ever in American history, John Lewis, by calling him a liar when he says that people shouted that infamous word beginning with N. You're not accusing him of lying,
isn't that the
are you?
Word they call each other all the time anyway?
Does that make it okay with you?
You're not.
Well, hold on, Mark. Does that make it okay?
I
want you to answer the question. Is it okay? I'm going to say the word. I don't know if I'll be bleeped. Is it okay for a white person to call the leader of the civil rights movement, a man who endured incredible taunts and spitting and horror back in the 60s to integrate the schools, one of my personal heroes, John Lewis, is it okay to call him a nigger? Is that okay?
Let's talk about today. The reason.
Well, no, but I just want to make sure that you don't think that's okay.
To infiltrate the
Well, hold on. You know what, Mark? I'll let you tell me everything you want to tell me. Mark, I'll just tell me everything you want you to help me. But I want to hear from you very clearly that it was wrong to call John Lewis that word. You agree with me?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, go ahead. Fine. Go ahead. I just want to make sure we agree on that. Go ahead.
Okay. What I'm saying is it was wrong for these people to show up and do what they did. They had vulgar words on these posters. They were there to start trouble. And many guys like myself were more than happy to oblige them with trouble.
You were? Why?
Were
what happened to civil disobedience? What happened to peacefully disagreeing with your neighbor? Let me ask you something. I've seen the Hitler mustaches on the Obama and so forth. I am more than willing to condemn anybody.
Admit it. You're scared of us. You're
scared of you? Should I be physically scared or should I be scared of elected?
You can't control everything, yet all you can do is talk about the minority party.
Wait a minute. Scared of what? Am I scared of people painting Hitler mustaches on Obama?
No, you're scared of the fact that in November we're going to clean you guys as clocks.
Well,
you're
you know what?
You're scared to death of that.
May the best party win. May the best ideas win. But I'll tell you this. It's no great rhetoric and logic and terrific philosophical ideas to paint a Hitler mustache on the President of the United States. That's
and
not argument. That's
that
fear.
If you had there today, you will be totally embarrassed for your party. Absolutely
for my party.
Embarrassed at what took place today on behalf of the Democrat Party. You guys should be absolutely ashamed and embarrassed.
And you know these people were Democrats. Okay. Look, I don't know what happened. You're telling me something happened. I'll tell you this. You got a news source I could check? I'll tell you what. In the break, I'll be happy to go to Google, and I'll look up Boston Tea Party. What should I Google? I'll look it in the break, and let's see if your facts are right. That's fair.
I haven't even watched the videos once yet. I'm on the road.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to, in the break,
Google,
I'm going to Google the Boston Tea Party.
You'll see who I am.
Mark what? What's your last name?
Mark the Patriot.
Oh, Mark the Patriot. Okay, well, I consider myself Mark the Patriot as well. But we'll continue our discussion on the other side of the break. If you want to join in, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall, and I'm talking with a real, honest-to-goodness, self-proclaimed Tea Partier. He calls himself Mark the Patriot. He's driving back from Boston. And he's insisting that the Tea Party people were all pleasant, calm, nice, people. And it was the anti-Tea Party people that were so awful. All I know is what I tried to Google in the last 4 minutes. I haven't found anything anywhere there. Maybe if someone finds one, by all means, post on my website. I'll read it. Talking about counter-protesters being awful. I'm sure
Mark can find some, and I'm sure there are some. I don't doubt that people on my side of the aisle can be nasty. I decry it wherever it happens. In fact, I was one of the first people on the left to decry Code Pink because I don't agree with their tactics. But I did find in Google, under Mark the Patriot, I did find a white pickup truck, and I'm going to ask the person on the phone if this was his truck. Here's what he writes on the back of his truck. Is that your truck, the one that ends MACS Fun? Is that your driver's license? Is that your license plate?
Yes. I'm on 95 South at mile marker 43.
There you go. Let me tell you what. Mark, let me read to the audience what you have on the back of your truck. This is what I got from Google, and Mark has confirmed that this is his truck. Here's what it says. Two Obama and Democrat fools. By the way, it's Democratic, but I guess you don't really know what our party, our adjective. To Obama and Democrat fools, you might steal this election, but over my dead body, will you steal my freedom, my religion, my money, or my guns? Exclamation point. We do not need more taxes, more government, and welfare bums. Save America. Stop Obama. I am Mark the Patriot. Well, that's what you have on the back of your truck, right? That's what you have on the back of your truck.
October of 08, and everything on there is either true or coming true.
All right, let's start with the first one. You might steal this election. Do you think Obama stole the election?
Lots of dead people voted.
Do you think Obama stole the election?
Absolutely.
You do. In other words, you are willing to say that even though there was a 7% margin of victory, even though Obama got more votes than any presidential candidate in U.S. history, even though he won the electoral vote 3-1, all right, Mark, you're willing to say that millions of votes were stolen, right? That's what you're arguing, right?
You couldn't get 98% of people to agree that today was Wednesday. But all of a sudden, 98% of black Americans voted for Obama. Just using the same logic you used earlier with your 94%.
So you think it's impossible. I don't think it was 98%, by the way. It was about 95 or 96. But whatever it is, you do not believe, even though you have absolutely no evidence whatsoever to back it up.
Oh, no. The black
you believe
wasn't in Philadelphia at that election poll place. No, you're right. They weren't there.
Hold on. Mark, do you have proof that millions of votes were stolen? Do you have proof that thousands of votes were stolen? Okay, I didn't think so. So you're just guessing, because your guy didn't win, that this election was stolen. Compare that, by the way, to the election of 2000, when Gore not only won the popular vote, but he also got more votes than Bush in Florida, and the Supreme Court gave the election to Bush in an opinion that not a single legal scholar in the nation defends its logic. But you think that just because your candidate lost, that it was a stolen election. Okay, let's go to your next thing. Over my dead body, your dead body, will you steal my freedom, my religion?
Right.
I want you to first, let's talk about your religion. How is President Obama stealing your religion?
He said he was Muslim, then he said he was Christian.
When did he say he was Muslim? Give me a date, time, and place.
George Stephanopoulos interview, my Muslim faith, he said.
He said, my Muslim faith. All right,
yeah,
you know what?
Video. George Stephanopoulos.
All right, Mark the Patriot. I have never seen that video. But you know what? I'm still willing to make you a deal right now, all right? $20. $20. He never said that he was a Muslim.
He
never
said
it.
My Muslim faith.
Well, what did you take out of context?
Mark, I've got the actually Mark the Patriot, you're incorrect. This is from Snopes.com, also factcheck.org. Claim Barack Obama admitted to being a Muslim during an ABC News interview with George Stephanopoulos.
He said it.
False.
Mark the Patriot.
You did not read the whole
quote.
Wait, I can
read the whole quote first, Mark.
You mentioned your Christian faith. This is the interview. Stephanopoulos, you mentioned your Christian faith yesterday. You took after Republicans for suggesting you have Muslim connections just a few minutes ago. Rick Davis, John McCain's campaign manager, said they've never done that. This is false, cynical attempt to play victim.
I watched the video of it.
You're not reading the whole quote. You're lying.
You know what? I got the video. I got it right here.
All right, play it.
I got the video right here. I got it from Snopes. I'll play it right now. Here you go. I haven't even seen it yet.
You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith. And you're absolutely right that that has not
Christian
come.
Faith.
Yeah, my Christian faith.
In other words, John McCain has not said that he's a Muslim. Right. John McCain has not spread the false rumor that he's a Muslim. Good for John McCain for not spreading the false rumor that you, sir, are spreading right now. Now, let me ask you this. Since this is obviously a lie, why does it matter so much for you to spread this lie? Why is it so important to you to say that he's Muslim when he's not? I guess, first of all, I guess you think that Americans should discriminate against Muslims, right? Obviously. You hate Muslims.
Muslims are here to kill us. There, I said it.
Muslims are here to kill us. All of them?
Damn right they
Every
are.
One of them? You're Every crazy. American Muslim is here to kill us? Every one of them.
I didn't say every one of them.
Oh, you just said Muslims are here to kill us.
Attack.
Maybe Christians are here to kill us. Timothy McVeigh was a Christian. Christians are here to kill us. Timothy McVeigh's a terrorist. Right, that's your logic, because there are some Muslim terrorists, every Muslim's a terrorist? That's what you're saying,
I'll
right?
I'll play your game all night long.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark the Patriot. I'm going to put $100 on the table for you. I'm $100 on the table. Mark, listen up. I got to get to another guy on the phone, too. $100 on the table, Mark. If you prove to me Obama's a Muslim, I will pay you $100. But if you can't prove it, you owe me $100. Is it a deal?
We can't even prove he was born in this country.
Okay. I can prove he was born in this country. You want to put $100 on that? You want to put $100 on that? I didn't think so. Put your money where your mouth is. $100, I got a copy of the Hawaiian birth certificate. And you know what? If you were an honest, decent human being, so would you. Certificate of live birth. That's what it's called. That's exactly right. You know, this is great. This just proves what the Tea Party is all about. Look, either Mark is typical of the Tea Party, in which case it shows them to be a fraudulent lot, or he's not typical, in which case I guess he's sliming the Tea Party. Let's go to someone else who says he's a Tea Party sympathizer. This is Rich in Wilmington, Delaware.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm okay, Rich. You don't agree with the stuff that Mark just said, do you?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that, because I think there are reasonable people.
I think you border on just the same kind of stuff he says, but just on the other side.
Really? Give me an example of where you think I've gone too far or my facts have been wrong.
No, it's just the way you're defending and opposing. Anyway.
But look, I have the right to my opinion. I just don't have the right to my own facts. My problem with Mark the Patriot, if he wants to say he's against government spending, we can have a nice, calm, rational argument about government spending and taxation, and that's fine. That's what Americans do. But he's making up lies. He's claiming the president is a Muslim. He's claiming the president wasn't born here. He's telling lies, and I'm just mad at his lies. Have I said anything that is factually inaccurate, Rich, tonight? You've heard me for 3 hours. I don't know. Have I said anything that's factually inaccurate?
I haven't been listening to you for about half an hour.
Well, have I said anything that's factually wrong? You disagree with my opinion.
No,
okay.
I haven't.
All right, I just want to be fair here. And you have the right to disagree with my opinion. Go ahead, tell me why I'm wrong.
With any certain point or just in general?
Well, anything you want to go after. I just want my point was that I got my facts right. But go ahead, tell me why you disagree.
It's been making my blood boil lately hearing all the stereotypes. Well, you've been around long enough that you can see stereotypes used against either side of any argument.
I don't like stereotypes. I don't like any of them.
Now, I'm 57 years old. In my lifetime, I have voted Democratic, I have voted Republican, I have voted Libertarian. I try to keep my mind open, see. My wife and I went to both of the Tea Parties in Washington. We were there up towards the front where supposedly the N-word was used.
Okay.
Now, we couldn't hear it. We didn't see it. It may have actually occurred. If it was somebody, it was nobody that was in our group.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not saying all Tea Partiers are racist. I've never said that. I think some are.
I didn't say you said it. I said it makes my blood boil when I hear stereotypes used.
Well, I'll tell you, I try to separate the Tea Party people.
I personally feel there's a concerted effort against people like myself who want to express their opinion and are not happy with how things are being run.
You know what? Let me tell you something, Rich.
It has more to do with just big government being out of touch with people.
I'll tell you something, Rich.
And the only reason why we're going to get cut off soon is I'm at the end of my 3 hours, so I'm going to have to cut you off. But let me tell you this. You are the kind of person that I want to have a detailed conversation with. So check my website, RadioInsideScoop.com. Next time I host Leslie Marshall's show, you can call in on my show, by the way. I got my show Monday night. I'm on Tuesday night. Check my website. You're the kind of person I want to have a discussion with because I don't believe all Tea Party activists are the same. In fact, I hear a real distinction between you and the guy I just talked to, Mark the Patriot. I do. He is defending lies. He is trying to make people believe lies, to inflame people, and that's not the way to convince people. If you want to convince me that you disagree with my position on taxes or spending, we're running out of time. That's why I can't go into it with you. I want to go into it with you. So check out my website. Call back on my show when I'm on Leslie's show. You call back, Rich. We will have a good discussion on philosophy. I want to do that. What makes me mad is not you. What makes me mad is people like Mark.
Can I end on just one thing for you to look at?
Real quick.
There's a website called crashtheteaparty.org.
Okay.
And the site is designed, and it tells people how to infiltrate, how to make things look bad, how to cause a ruckus.
I disagree with that. Just so we're clear, I disagree with that, whether it happens on the right or the left. I disagree with that, and I'm happy to condemn it. I'm afraid I'm running out of time, though. Rich, thank you for your call. Heck, Mark the Patriot, thanks for your call. Thanks for showing us the other side of the Tea Party, people. This is Mark Levine. You can watch me every Wednesday morning on Fox at 9:30. You can watch all my TV and radio appearances from my website at radioinsidescoop.com. Thank you, Leslie's audience. Thank you, Leslie. I'm signing off.